So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Good morning, friends. Wednesday? Already? Doesn't it feel like the week is flying by? Is it just me? I was here on Monday. I was here on Tuesday. I don't have a short week. This is my first full week in a while, but it feels like this week is going by really quickly.
I'll tell you what. I don't know that it's going by quickly, but it doesn't feel slow. I'll give you that.
It's
not a slow week. There are some weeks that...
And so I hear you.
Yeah. But this does not feel slow. This feels great. This is a great week.
This is a good week. It is Wednesday, and therefore today we hump. 314-436. It's hump day. Hump day. 314-436-7900. You may call and text. You may also, if you want. Actually, you have to. You have to, if you have something to say, you have to leave us a voice message directly on the Odyssey app. You should also have that app on your phone to listen to the station and the podcast and Cardinals baseball when the season comes up, and it is approaching rapidly. Follow us there on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX, and you can watch the show live on Facebook and YouTube as well.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Don't freak out, but the Cardinals made a trade.
Oh.
It's not Nolan Arenado.
Is it an LHP?
It's not Brendan Donovan. It is an LHP. It is a left-handed reliever. His name is Justin Brule, and they get him from the Cleveland Guardians for cash. Now, we've got Lynn Worthy, who covers the Cardinals, coming up on the show. He covers the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch, and Lynn will join us at 10:30 today to talk about the Cards offseason.
Sorry, this is a quick note. Would you feel like, wouldn't it hurt your feelings if we traded Matt for cash? Like, don't you want at least somebody? Might hurt my feelings if you traded me for cash.
We'll get into that later.
High Point's announcing the closure of three locations. What other restaurants might be going away in 2026? Well, good news. We've got George Mahey, dining editor of St. Louis Magazine, joining us in studio at 11:30.
Also be telling us about what's coming to the area. Tonight, Blues and Blackhawks will play. And then it's a big college basketball night as well. SLU will take on VCU. That's a tough one. That's going to be right here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Mizzou in Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's a big game tonight, too.
6 o'clock. SLU has never won in Richmond.
A tough place to play.
This hopefully is their first victory. The Blues game, you know me, Hockey Amy's back, but dude, it says 8:30 faceoff. It's going to be 8:50. It's a TNT game, and it's always 15, 20 minutes later than the game time start.
Yeah.
Again, I know I'm getting old because 8:50 may as well be midnight. That's how late it feels to me right now.
You know, the one thing that you have going for you, I think, you're a hockey fan and you need to get to bed, hockey games aren't that long.
They're not. And you always know exactly how long they're going to be.
Right, unless there's an overtime. But even then, it's
5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's five minutes. So... yes, it's a nice little package, a hockey game is. Basically, it's a commitment of 2.5 hours. You know that. But again, I think I'm getting old because an 8:50 puck drop just feels like midnight.
You know, guys, since we're talking about sports here.
Oh, no. Please, this is not you still being upset, is it?
Okay. I know that I am my college football team that I follow. It does not have wide mass appeal.
The name.
It's Illinois State.
That's right.
They were in the national championship game, the FCS championship, on Monday night.
Which is the fake championship, right?
No, it's real. I mean, it's just a different... It's not like the league Alabama, Florida, and Oregon and those schools and Indiana playing.
It's a very big deal. And it's your alma mater.
It is. And Missouri State was in the same league up until this year. So... that's those are the kind of schools we're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're in the championship game, and they blew it. They had a chance to win with about a minute to go, and they blew it. And they had two kicks blocked in the final minutes and in overtime. Then they ended up losing in overtime.
Miles Sandstead. Snap, hold, kick. Up, good! For a national championship! In overtime!
So that's from ESPN, and we thank them for making me watch that. Here's the thing. I know that I am, this is not a school that a lot of people get behind. It's me, my friends, people I went to school with.
And
I get it.
Probably just far enough away that it doesn't feel St. Louis local, or does it feel?
Well, here's the other thing. A lot of people from this area don't go there. A lot of people from St. Louis, if they go to one of the Illinois schools, they end up going to SIUE or Carbondale. For whatever reason...
My buddies are all SIU or SIUE. Yeah.
For whatever reason, Illinois State is like Central Illinois and North. That's where most of the people are coming from. At any rate.
Like, it almost has more of a Chicago vibe.
Yeah, more of that.
Yeah. My family members, aunt, uncle, cousins, lived in Chicago, moved to Bloomington Normal.
Yeah,
so it feels like a Chicago vibe.
A lot of people, and also from like Peoria and El Paso and, you know, some of the smaller towns in Central Illinois. But here's the thing. Forget about the team.
Okay.
It's taken me now a day and a half, I guess, to really think about it and process it. That I do think that in my lifetime as a sports fan, it is the worst loss of my lifetime. It's the worst sports loss of my lifetime. And I'm thinking about, I'm throwing in Don Denkinger that game.
Wow.
However, I was like seven, so I didn't get the full emotion of that. When you're 7 years old, you don't really quite grasp what's going on. I think about that. Thought about the Winnipeg series last year. That was devastating, but it was a first round matchup. It wasn't like the Stanley Cup final, and they were 0.2 seconds away from that. And I'm having this conversation with somebody yesterday about it. And I said, you know what? The loss still stings. I wish they had lost by 5 touchdowns. It would have been so much easier to deal with, because you could just say, all right, well, they were here. They're in the championship game. They tried. They got their fannies smacked. Whatever. But when you are this close to winning the thing, and there's a very good possibility you never get there again, I think that is far more devastating. And her response was, well, don't you want the game to be closer so that the players and you as a fan can take more pride knowing you hung in there with one of the best teams in the country? And I said, no. That does nothing for
There's
me.
There's no such thing as a moral victory.
Exactly.
And when you lose by 4 or 5 touchdowns, it gives you the luxury of separation where you can almost say it wasn't meant to be.
Right.
Montana State was going to win. It was their game. And here's how I can prove it. We still talk about, and we'll continue to talk about, the Blues losing in Game 7 to the Winnipeg Jets. And even though it was the first round, devastating, because they were winning that game. The Jets tied it with 0.2 seconds left, and then the Blues lose it in overtime. You had it in your hand. You could taste victory. You lost it, and it's your fault. You did it. You had victory. You were about to sip from the cup of champions, and you blew it. We talk about that. We'll always talk about that. Guess what I've almost forgotten about? The Cardinals getting swept by the Boston Red Sox in 2004. Nobody cares.
That's right.
It wasn't meant to be. The Red Sox were going to win. We just happened to be the sad saps that had to play them in the World Series. Blah, 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 whatever.
Ran into a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Not our fault.
But there's something far worse about having something in your hands and having it taken away from you.
Yes.
That is just, you know what it's like? Remember when City SC had their inaugural season and our boss came in here with two bags and said, hey, try these on.
Yep.
And they were City SC jerseys. Remember the kits?
Oh,
we saw the kits for the first time.
They fit.
He said, try these on.
And they fit, each of us, and beautifully.
And so we tried them on, and we're like, wow. Yeah, we took a picture.
He had us take a picture.
And we thought, wow, thank you so much. And he said, okay, give them back. Those are for
Y98. Yeah.
Remember that?
It was hurtful.
Yeah.
We'll never forget it.
Okay. Yeah. So if he
had why I've been mailing it in ever since.
If he had just walked right past the studio and not shown us, not given us those bags, I wouldn't care about it.
Here's what it's
like. The fact that we had them on, we were wearing them and ripped those away from us. That's devastating.
It is. It's the taste. It is like you are going to stay a week somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you're going. Let's say you're in Cancun. You're going to stay a week in Cancun. And you know, like, man, I'm going there on a budget. Okay. Yeah, I got to stay at the, you know, the Podunk Inn.
Yeah.
And it's going to be rough. Mm-hmm. And the sheets are going to be dirty. And it's going to be gross because I just don't have the cash. But you're prepared for it.
Right.
Versus showing up to Cancun and they grab your hand and they lead you into the Four Seasons. And look at this place. Yeah. And you're like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing.
Luxury.
Luxury. And they go, oh, Chris Ranji? Oh, we thought this was... you're not here. And then you take your bags, you walk out of the Four Seasons, and now you got to go stay at the Podunk place. It'd be better if you never saw the
Four
Seasons.
Don't show me what I could have had.
That's right.
Just never give it. I would like to know how people feel about this.
Well,
is this true for you as well, or do you disagree? Do you take some sort of pride in your team coming close to winning the whole thing, to winning the big game? You know, hey, we hung in there with the best team in the land. Do you take some pride from that?
I don't.
Because I don't. And let me take it a step further. One of the things in sports that I despise the most is when the playoffs happen, and it doesn't matter what sport, like the Blues last year. They lose to Winnipeg. Let's say the Jets go on and win the Stanley Cup that year. And the people who go, well, at least we lost to the Stanley Cup champions. Screw that. Screw that. If my team loses and there's another round beyond it, I want the team that beat my team to lose badly.
Well,
I want them to be out immediately. And you know what it is? Spite.
Yes. And that's why when the Blues lost last year, I never tweet. And I tweeted this. I hope the Jets get swept by the Stars. And then I hope the Stars get swept. Like, I just wanted them all to lose. The only time where maybe the Stanley Cup victory or the World Series champions matters is if you are using the buzzsaw analogy. Well, it was, you know, the Kings. It was their year in 2011. Doesn't matter. Everyone who lost to the Kings in 2011 doesn't care. No one was going to stop them.
Right. And
was it 2012? No, I can't remember. Anyway, it was the Kings in 2011 or 2012. They won the Stanley Cup. They were a buzzsaw riding on the back of Jonathan Quick. And it wasn't so much the, well, at least we lost to the winners. It was, they couldn't be stopped.
And nobody is going to remember. Nobody's going to remember the Texas Rangers came close to winning the World Series. I mean, Rangers fans aren't going to say, well, hey, at least we almost did it that year. Yeah. No, they're devastated by what the Cardinals did.
In 96.
Devastated.
In 96, when the Blues lost in overtime, when Steve Yzerman took his shot from center ice, went over John Casey's shoulder. Oh. Nobody remembers or cares whether or not the Red Wings won the cup that year. By the way, they didn't. The Colorado Avalanche did. The Wings won the cup the two next years.
Yes.
But nobody cares. It has nothing to do with nobody cares. Like, you know what makes Yzerman's goal worse is that they lost in the next round to the Avalanche. Yeah. Nobody says that.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. And that was one of the games that I was thinking about. I was going through the list of bad sports losses in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I thought about that one. I thought about Winnipeg last year. I thought about the Denkinger game. I thought about Illinois State in the first championship game they were in 11 years ago, and they took the lead late and gave it up, I think, as time expired. That was a tough loss. This one was far worse. And so we would like to hear from you. Do you want your team to get... I feel like if we did a Twitter poll on this one, it doesn't happen to be our Twitter poll of the week, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was bad planning.
But if it were the Twitter poll of the week, I bet it would be overwhelming that people would say, absolutely, I'd rather get blown out than get close and lose it.
That's good. I don't know. I trust you on that. You know, a lot of times whatever I feel is not what the majority thinks. Everything I do is not popular. But so I don't know what to assume. But I am with you on this, that it's much better emotionally to just have no hope.
That's
at all.
Yes. Thank you. You nailed it. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX. Guess, you know what's another stupid idea? Dry January. Are you doing it?
314-436-7900.
104.1 FM, KMOX.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We were talking about devastating losses because Ranch still smarting from the Illinois State
loss.
I
honestly will never recover from
it. Yeah. Well, Harambe texts in.
Yeah.
He says, Harambe here. I'm a Notre Dame fan. At least you were allowed to be in the playoffs.
Well, okay. I'd rather not have gone. I would rather this team had not gone to the playoffs. Dude, it's so difficult, especially when, I don't know, maybe they will get back there again. And by the way, we have a texter who says, the biggest thing I despise in sports is we. There's no we. You're not part of the team. You're not part of the ownership. Just calm down. I agree with you until it's college, because in college, you've paid them a considerable amount of money.
I
am on that team.
Yeah.
I went to that university. I am part of the team. So I say we when it comes to college sports. You can disagree. That's fine. But that's how I look at it. I don't know that I will get past that one. I think that's a permanent. And I hate to say this, but it's so difficult. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think they get back there.
Wow.
I didn't think they would get back there, and they did 11 years later. But it's so hard. And they have a lot going against them in terms of recruiting. And, you know, I don't know. I just have a very difficult time with it. Anyway, Colonel Ripper says, he's watching us on YouTube. He says, I hated the 04 World Series, such a gut punch after the great season. And I agree, but I think there's a difference between the gut punch and the disappointment of a team not showing up when they were one of the best teams in the sport all season long. And then you get to, like, the Yankees, was it 2002? What Yankees team was it that won like 115 games and lost in the division round? That's just disappointing.
What's weird is that happens in hockey. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning would win the President's Cup and lose in the first round. It's a curse
in
hockey.
So I would be angry about it.
Yeah.
I would rather have anger than absolute devastation. Those are two different emotions.
Yeah. Okay, and this is not relevant, but I will say, when you talk to former Cardinals, they all say that 04 team was the best team they'd ever seen. The 04 team, Cardinals. How good they were.
They were very good. Very, very good.
We do have a texter that says, hey, Chris and Amy, my opinion regarding sports team success is that it depends on your capabilities as a team. If, like the St. Louis Cardinals, the season expectation is low, yet by some miracle they made the playoffs or a chance at a World Series, I'd be proud and happy. But if the expectation was very high and they got close or lost in round four of the World Series or game four, yes, it'd be terrible.
See, that's... I mean,
it's a little different because we're talking about a very specific moment on how you lose. But I definitely get what that...
No, I get that sentiment.
The Blues have a chance at a wild card spot, and it feels like a disastrous, blown season because the expectations were so much higher.
That's right. No, I completely agree. There is a difference when expectations are there and a team doesn't deliver. To me, that's more frustration and anger, which are, I believe, in my personal opinion, I think those are easier emotions to have than absolute devastation.
Well,
like something was yours and then taken away from you.
I know.
That is a lot tougher to deal with.
And you can't drink your problems away. No. Because we do want to ask you about this. So we want to hear from you so we can continue the conversation. Are you doing a dry January? 314-436-7900. I keep seeing these videos from people who have said that they are giving up alcohol or they've given up alcohol for the past 3 months. It's changed their lives. They're a totally different person. And here's the thing. I didn't have any drinks until I was 27. And then I kind of, you know, I enjoyed bourbon or tequila in my 30s. I haven't had a drink in a year. I mean, it was that last year when I had that tequila. And I haven't had a drink in a year. I don't feel any different. Did I not drink enough to notice a difference?
This is how I felt during...
I haven't had a drink in a year. I don't feel like that much better than I always feel.
It's like COVID. When we were at home, we weren't really going anywhere. People weren't going to bars. I mean, I guess some people were. But you weren't out, right?
Uh-huh.
I didn't drink at all because I'm not one of those people who likes to have a glass of whiskey or a glass of wine at night. I'm just not one of those people. I am a social beverage consumer. I like to be with people when I'm doing it. So I just didn't do it at home. And I remember having the conversation a few times with people and they say, well, you must feel great. I'm like, no, I feel worse. I feel so much worse. I haven't had a drink in like 4 months. I feel terrible right now.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I didn't feel better.
I just don't think I drink enough to have a physiological benefit because I do think if you have like, you know, 10 drinks an entire year, that's almost like not drinking at all. And they say even one drink will increase your risk of cancer or make you unhappy. And I get, like I said, as someone who doesn't drink very much at all and has not had a drink in a year, I feel pretty much always feel the same.
Saw a friend on New Year's Day, and I told him I was going to steal this idea from him and not give him credit, but I'm going to give him credit now. And we were talking about dry January, and I know a lot of people who do it, and I think it's kind of... I don't know. I get it's fine if you want to do it. It doesn't hurt, obviously, if you just want to take the month off.
I mean, I'm not sure what doing it.
I'm not sure what the real benefit is if you take off a month but just get right back to it in February. But he said, you know what? No, but I am going to do landline January. I'm not going to use my cell phone all month. I said, all right.
Is that for real?
That's what he said he's going to do.
He has a landline?
He broke his phone. So his phone is broken. It's shattered. He could barely read the screen. He said, you know what? I'm just going to do landline January. I thought, what a great idea.
That's a great idea.
How about take an entire month off from using your mobile phone?
I love it.
Can we commit? Can we all commit to landline January?
Yes, as soon as I get a landline.
If you want to participate in landline January, let us know. That means no mobile phone. You just use your phone at home if you have one.
Yeah.
Or email.
Or you got to get a landline.
That is...
sponsored by AT&T.
That is correct. 314-436-7900. Join us. We're going to talk to Tiger Joyce, who's a president of the American Tort Reform Association, because apparently St. Louis is one of the worst judicial hellholes in the country. We're going to find out what that means. We'll talk to Tiger Joyce next.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. And I think this is a real good news, bad news situation, Ranj.
Sure.
We're number six.
That's not bad.
In the country.
I could look at that multiple ways.
Yeah. However, it is...
Has our murder rate fallen to number six? Because that's a victory.
I don't know. Okay. I'll have to double check. We, St. Louis, were ranked number six among the nation's worst, quote, judicial hellholes. So it's not great. New data shows that every St. Louis resident pays a $1,653 annual tort tax, with over 30,000 jobs lost in the city each year due to lawsuit abuse. And joining us now to talk about St. Louis as a judicial hellhole is Tiger Joyce, the president of the American Tort Reform Association, a bit of an ignominious distinction, Tiger, for the city of St. Louis, but we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be on with you. Yes, being number six is better than being number one, but this is a list that no one should want to be on, and we hope that we can happily, after reform efforts and improvements, can remove you from the list.
Well, and I'll just add this, too, because we do have the bi-state area, but number seven on the list is the Cook, Madison, and St. Clair counties in Illinois. So I know a lot of our listeners are affected both by the St. Louis and the Illinois counties.
Absolutely. And, I think there are probably some commonalities between the two areas, but in particular, we've highlighted some changes and some recent developments, which we think, again, it's important for, I think, your listeners, at least from our perspective, to understand that, that the issues that we raise and that we highlight really are not just lawyer issues. They're not just for judges. These are matters, as you cited the data in St. Louis, about the impact that this has. This comes out of everybody, ultimately these costs and these abusive costs come out of the pockets of consumers. They ultimately get passed on to all of us as consumers. And I think affecting change, serving as a catalyst for reforms and efforts in that regard is really what we hope to accomplish. And I think there have been some improvements in Missouri in recent times, but certainly more is necessary. And we think putting a spotlight on these abuses is really important.
So the idea for people who don't know what tort is, and you can add to this, it is the idea that a business or some sort of service is negligent and careless or whatever, and ends up hurting somebody. And therefore, a person files a lawsuit in response. And that covers a number of different things. It's wide ranging. Would you argue that in itself is good, right? But you're saying that it's just there are too many abuses when it comes to these lawsuits.
Yeah, I think our civil justice system is one of the great virtues of our country, and people who are injured. And I think you give a good sort of general understanding. You're talking about physical injury and actually suffering an injury. Actually, if you read through the entire report, we see some jurisdictions where the problem is there's not even a requirement of proof of injury in some cases. But but your point is well taken. That's exactly what we're contemplating here. What we try to highlight is that when it goes too far in one direction, when you have lawyers from Kansas City who are simply sending demand letters to businesses in St. Louis about violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and on behalf of people who never even intend to use the facilities, use patronize a business, what sort of useful purpose does that serve? Simply the cost of making it go away. Then you have on the other end of the spectrum, you have a very, very large award that was issued against a trucking company of over $460 million. Now that actually took place in 2024, but the appellate process ran through this past year, and despite the fact that the individuals involved were over the legal intoxication level, you had the lack of seatbelt use was not admissible. All those matters were not admissible. The case ends up settling, and it settles. I don't know how much it settles for. But rather than really sort of being decided on the merits, it moves in the direction of one of these what we call nuclear verdicts, these excessively large awards in excess of $10 million. But back to your point, I think that our system is one of the crown jewels of how we govern ourselves and require people and organizations and businesses to take responsibility for their actions, but ensuring that it's done in a balanced way is what we think is important.
Yeah, just to give our listeners some real specifics here, and you referenced this, but the American with Disabilities Act, generally a good thing, but also can be abused. And the James Beard winning chef, the James Beard Award winning chef that St. Louisans know, who owns Sydney Street Cafe and Peacemaker Lobster and Crab, got a letter from the Kansas City-based attorney who was representing a blind man and said that, well, for one of your restaurants, the screen accessed software is not compatible with the ADA. And this attorney, Kevin Puckett out of Kansas City, wrote that it was his goal to get a settlement agreement with Kevin Nishan, who owns this restaurant. Well, as it turns out, the Kansas City lawyer has filed at minimum 70 lawsuits on the behalf of the same blind man, who Kansas City reporters have said this blind man lives on the attorney's property and rents a trailer from him. And it just seems like they're in cahoots trying to find people to sue, because like maybe their websites somehow don't comply with the ADA, which, by the way, the website rules for the ADA are not clear. Like, a ramp is very clear on how wide a ramp needs to be, but the website isn't like that. So you have this lawyer and this guy going around just trying to find places to sue. They've sued Straub's, they've sued Urban Chestnut, all these places right here in St. Louis.
That's exactly right. I mean, we talked about, you know, what is a tort, or what are we looking at in the civil justice system? Normally, it involves actually suffering an injury. And here, as you mentioned, this is a case where the individual is really not, has not suffered any kind of an economic injury or physical injury. And this is an example of where you have lawyers who are using the system for their benefit and not for a broader benefit, or to serve the interest of someone who has a legitimate claim. I would echo, I'm not an expert. We at ATRA are not experts on ADA compliance with regard to websites, but we hear widely reported, as you indicated, that the rules are quite complicated and unclear. And so it's something that is taken advantage of. But I think that it also demonstrates that this is not just an issue for large businesses. This is not just an issue for big manufacturers and others, or even I mentioned the trucking company. These are, you know, restaurants. These are, you know, small businesses. And if they're trying to do business, you know, with a website, you know, and just even their facilities and you mentioned ramps and matters like that, railings, even there, I think there can be abuse. But it's an issue that I think demonstrate these cases really demonstrate that this is not just a matter for, you know, as I said, larger companies or insurers and others. But ultimately, these costs and the demand is usually for an amount that would be less than the cost of actually going to trial, you know, going through hiring a lawyer, you know, engaging in the likely increase that a business would have based on the company's insurance in terms of hiring, you know, having the insurer retain counsel for the defendant. So all of that, it just takes advantage of that uncertainty, and I think it demonstrates again that too often we have examples of these matters where the system serves the interests of lawyers and not those who have legitimate claims. And for those people, you know, we hear about different matters around the country. Illinois, your neighbors, in many, you know, changed their rules with respect to the jurisdiction of the courts in Illinois. And what's the impact of that? That means you're going to have cases coming from all over the country being brought in Illinois courts. And keep in mind that it's the taxpayers in Illinois who pay for the courts, who pay to, you know, to have the judges and the officials to officiate and manage the legal process in the courts in the state. So, you know, again, the broader point that we think needs to come out of, and the purpose of our report, is to highlight that ultimately these abuses and these excesses come out of the pockets of not lawyers and judges and others, but just everyday consumers and taxpayers.
So the data that you cite says that that tort is costing the average taxpayer $1,200, a little over $1,200 in the state of Missouri, little over $1,000 in the state of Illinois, and that's something like 65,000 jobs lost. How do you get to that number? How do we know that it's 65,000 jobs that are lost as a result of this?
Well, that's an analysis that's done by a consulting firm that does this report every year. It evaluates different states and its jurisdictions. It uses, you know, a complicated series of analyses to make these determinations based on what it, you know, uses as what would be an effective and balanced system versus how the system is being undertaken and carried out in a given jurisdiction. So it varies widely. Some places, it's, the numbers are significantly higher, even. In parts of California, I think we see for a family of four, the awards or the so-called tort tax for a family of four could be almost double those amounts. Mm. So it does vary across the country, but they use a series of factors that they, you know, and sort of the complexity of these types of analyses, and it's utilized as a basis to serve as an evaluation of the impact of lawsuit abuse, you know, based on a series of assumptions about what would be a fair and balanced system.
Tiger Joyce, president of the American Tort Reform Association, we appreciate your time. Thank you for visiting with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, this makes me sad.
Makes me sick. I don't even know what it is, but go ahead.
The sales growth at pizza chains has been relatively flat since 2023. And the popularity of pizzerias is dropping.
How is that possible?
How is that possible? Pizzerias went from being the second most popular type of U.S. chain restaurant in the 1990s to sixth most popular in terms of sales last year. Coffee shops and Mexican food joints now outnumber pizzerias, which thinned out in the U.S. after hitting a record high in 2019, according to the Wall Street Journal.
If I thought I could actually make a good living doing it, and maybe you can, I would open a coffee shop. But like your numbers tell us, I think there are too many coffee shops.
There's a lot of coffee shops.
How would you compete?
Well, yes. And they say also, I mean, what's crazy is that pizza shops peaked in 2019. We all know what happened in 2020. Mm-hmm. That was hard for restaurants across the board. But food inflation means menu prices are higher, so that's affecting people's spending habits. And believe it or not, GLP-1s, like Ozempic shots, are changing the way people are eating.
There you go. That does make a ton of sense. Amy, I know this story has been out there for a few days. I had not seen it until today. I know the Total Information AM reported on it this week. But did you see that Steve Ewing, the lead singer of the local band The Urge, and also the owner of Steve's Hot Dogs. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Delmar Loop location of Steve's closing, and the fountain is closing after the tornado, and the recovery is not happening fast enough. But Steve Ewing is starting a weekly residency at the Broadway Oyster Bar downtown.
That's fun.
That's very cool.
When does it start?
He'll be performing on Wednesdays. And I don't know exactly, but I think it is right here at the start of... Oh. Might be tonight, actually.
Very cool.
And look, I love Broadway Oyster Bar. I think it's one of the... When people come in from out of town and they ask me about a cool place to go, I will tell them Broadway Oyster Bar. It's got a cool vibe. You know, it's...
You know, Tom Ackerman said that this morning, too. He said when people come in from out of town, he tells them Broadway Oyster Bar.
Yeah, it's a really cool vibe. Good music.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it.
I know I just talked about fast food, but there is a map of the most popular fast food restaurants by state. What do you think Missouri's is?
Fast food?
Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A?
Nope. Taco Bell. Joking. Taco Bell. What do you think Illinois's is?
Taco Bell.
Jimmy John's. I actually don't believe this because...
Well, Jimmy John's was started by somebody who went to University of Illinois.
Really?
Yes.
Jimmy.
Jimmy John.
Jimothan Jonathan.
He is a... From what I am told, he is an interesting fella.
Yeah, because didn't he kill a lion?
He did, and then he posted a... Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
that.
That. Yeah.
Like, if you want to hunt, fine, kill a deer, but not lions. Anyway, Wendy's leads the map as the favorite in six states, which I don't believe, followed closely by Sonic, with 5.
What do you mean? So you don't believe what? Then Wendy's?
Wendy's and Sonic lead the way with 11 of 51's favorites?
Why don't you believe that?
I don't know anybody who goes to Wendy's.
What? Wendy's was my favorite when I was... I know everybody, McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
But my real, actual favorite as a kid was Wendy's.
Really?
Yeah, I think they have superior burgers.
Well, Wendy's, is a little bit more... What am I looking at? Is that Wyoming? Wait, Utah, Nevada. No, it's Utah Wendy's.
Utah Wendy's. That's where they're out of?
No, that's...
Where's Dave from? Can we find out where Dave... Dave's dead. Dave Thomas.
I don't think McDonald's is anybody's favorite. Wow. Captain D's. Popeyes is in Louisiana. That's...
Captain D's is an interesting choice.
Yeah. Captain D's, Popeyes.
Interesting.
Papa Murphy's.
Papa Murphy's is a pizza place.
Taco John's.
Taco John's. Never been there. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji.